that it's rather the pattern tonight for each one to get up and present their credentials or their bona fides regarding their relationship to the ASI. Now, I'm not sure, the next statement that I may make may not be altogether in order. It may be a terminological inexactitude, but I just think that maybe it's true that I was in self-supporting work before anybody in this room was in self-supporting work. Back in 1932, 15 years before the ASI was organized or founded, I was a lay preacher way down south in the land of cotton. That is not too far down in Tennessee. And as a young man starting out in the ministry, I thought that if I were going to be a preacher, I'd better start preaching. And I didn't know that I couldn't preach, so I just started ahead and preached anyway. And the Lord went ahead and of me, and as a result, helped me to raise up a church and a company there in the 2 years that we were in college in Collegedale. I almost became a self-supporting worker permanently because back there in those days, I see a few of you with gray hair and pink hair tonight so that you can think back to the days of the Depression. You've heard about the Depression, haven't you, brethren? We hear a little about recessions now, but if you haven't been in the Depression, you don't know anything about difficulty. Back in those days, when we finished our schoolwork there at Collegedale, the head of the Bible department suggested that we contact the conference presidents and find out about internships. Well, bless your heart, they didn't know what an internship was back in those days. So we made arrangements. Another one of the ministers and I, ministerial students and I, made arrangements to go out with this attempt from the Madison College and be self-supporting workers. But the Lord had some other plans then, and we never were able to carry that out. But I've had a special place in my heart for our self-supporting work for many years. Not very many months ago, I was attending a church elders and workers meeting down in one of the conferences in the South. And when I arrived and one of the lay leaders came up to me, he said, "Well, Elder," he says, "I see you're right back where you started from. You started out as a layman, then you went to the top, whatever that means. Now you're way back down here with us again." Well, you know, I always have been with us again. I've never been any other place, and you folks are the kind of people that are my people. And I'm happy to be with our self-supporting leaders here tonight. Now, I've been given a subject tonight to speak on, and that subject is miracles happen every day. Now, it isn't difficult for me to talk about miracles happen every day because I've come in contact with quite a few of them through the years. And I'm glad that Brother Mayer asked me to talk on miracles happen every day. Sabbath morning, I want to talk to you about the service concept in the light of the cross. And then Sabbath morning during the worship service, you'll notice here in your little program that I'm going to talk about I Want You, but I've changed my subject, but not my sermon. I want to bring it in line with your motto here, every member an outpost. And all of these are somewhat related. But now we always have to have a subject, or rather we have to have a text to start out a sermon with, and so my text for tonight is taken from the 37th chapter of Job, verse 14, and I'm going to use one of the paraphrases when it says, "Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God." Now, I don't know where you could find a better text in all of Scripture for this particular subject about miracles happening every day than when the psalmist Job reminds us to stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God, and that's what I'd like to do tonight. You know, the servant of the Lord has told us that this is going to be an era of miracles, these last days in which we live. And I want to say it's the greatest privilege of any people in all the world to be part and parcel of the great movement of God, the family of God, in these closing challenging days. And I notice here from volume 9, page 126, describing the situation, the conditions that exist today, miracles were wrought, spirit of intercession was seen, hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God, hearts were convicted, on every side doors were thrown open, the world seemed to be lightened with the heavenly influence. Great blessings were received by the true and humble people of God. And brethren and sisters, tonight I want to be part and parcel of that great miracle era, don't you? And I believe that the fact that you are here this evening as a part and parcel of the ASI is proof positive that you have a desire to be used of God and to have part in these great miracles that He is performing today and greater miracles that are ahead. In Second Selected Messages, page 346, it says, God's miracles do not always bear the outward semblance of miracles. Perhaps at the very time that we see them or come in contact with them, they may not seem like something so extraordinary. It says that they do not always bear the outward semblance of miracles. Often they're brought about in a way which looks like the natural course of events. I'm reminded, too, tonight that when we talk about miracles, we're not talking about something that is man-made. And that's one of the things that gives me confidence in the ASI and this movement among our laymen. And that is the fact that the Lord is the source of these miracles. When I turn to Acts, the 14th chapter and the 3rd verse, and there in the setting of Paul and his followers there in Iconium, it says, the Lord proved their message was from Him by giving them power to do great miracles. And when we note some of the miracles that are happening here in our own great land, in the sphere of the ASI, our self-supporting work, that should prove to us again and be a real source of encouragement to know that this power does come from God, that we're in a work that we must be dependent upon God to do. Now I want to tell you about a few miracles tonight. Some of them will be new, some of them will be those that you have perhaps heard before. But I think it is good for us to, as the Lord says, stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God and see what God is doing for us. This is the thing that should encourage us and challenge us and send us out with greater zeal and enthusiasm than ever before. I think this evening of a group that felt that they were being called of God to establish a hospital. They wanted to have this hospital measure up in every regard to the writings of the servant of the Lord. They had the land, but they had no lumber, they had no bricks, they had no concrete, no electrical fixtures, no plumbing fixtures, no carpenters, no plumbers. So they had a prayer meeting. They prayed that the Lord would help them to find just the individuals that they needed and provide the funds that were going to be required for this venture. And you know, brethren and sisters, the first thing that happened, an experienced carpenter and his helpers appeared and offered their services. So they had a carpenter, but it was during the war and it was almost impossible to buy building materials then. And so they had another prayer meeting. You know, brethren and sisters, one of the things that impresses me about the work of our laity across over this great land of ours is the way that they move forward on their knees. It's prayer that makes their work possible and makes their work powerful, both. And so when this particular group had their carpenter and some of his helpers there, it was almost impossible to buy the buildings at that time, so down on their knees they went again. And you know, they looked in the paper the next day, and here was an ad. The government was selling some surplus buildings, 14 of them, with many thousands of feet of timber that they were going to be needing. The only problem was that all of these things were about 75 miles away. And I might say, too, that they could get those 14 buildings for $1,000. But you know, back in those days, $1,000 was $1,000. So they didn't know where they were going to get it, and they didn't know how they were going to bring these materials down to the place where they wanted to build. And so they prayed, because they didn't have any truck. Believe it or not, the next day in the paper, there was an advertisement for a truck. $470. It might just as well have been $10,000, because they didn't have any money. We're talking about miracles tonight. What God does in circumstances when there is, it seems impossible to move ahead. And believe it or not, in the mail the next day, they received a check for $500. $30 more than they needed to get their truck. They got their truck and the Lord filled it with gasoline several times so that they could bring their things in. Well, they needed a bricklayer there to get things going. God sent a man there. And after they had prayed, the Lord sent them a man. Then they needed a plumber. And brethren and sisters, it wasn't very long before a man drove up in his pickup and he said, "By any chance, do you need a plumber around here?" Well, did they need a plumber? That was the very thing that they'd been praying for. But they had the plumber now and they didn't have any plumbing supplies. It sent them to their knees once again. And they were able to purchase from a little company on a side street in the nearby city there $600 worth of plumbing. And this man that had dropped in rather unostentatiously did the work in a couple of weeks, and then he said goodbye. The plumbing work was done. Well, brethren and sisters, these things are miracles. They're things that the Lord has worked out. I know that some of you in this room tonight know something about that. I'm sure that Brother Standish could give us some very fine and stirring experiences of what God has done there in his part of the world. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God in Wildwood, Georgia. Well, I could go on and tell you a little more about the development of the work there at Wildwood. I've been there on a number of occasions. In fact, my wife and I spent nearly a month there just recently in their program. They have a beautiful plant. They've been doing a great work there. They've been responsible for building up 5 or 6 churches in the area. They turn into the conference about $100,000 a year in tithes and offerings. Brethren and sisters, if I were a conference president today, one of the things that I would want to be sure of that I had some self-supporting work there. I was in Kentucky, Tennessee for some years there, right in the nest of the self-supporting program. And I discovered that as a conference president, if you want to get something for nothing, and something good for nothing, and not the wrong way, you know, but something that's good that doesn't cost you, I should have said that. I had a slip of the tongue. But if you want to have something good that you don't have to pay a large amount for, Brother Wisby, just get a few of these institutions there, and they will be good lay workers. They'll be workers out preaching the message, building up churches, building church buildings, and also turning in their tithes and offerings and help you out. And as a result of that work that began down there in that part of Georgia some years ago, that self-supporting program has left the oceans. And tonight you'll find them, their representatives in Europe and in Asia and Africa and different parts of the world, that it's been my privilege to visit them. And Elder Frazee, who came to see me just a couple of days ago there in Carolina, said, "We must give God the glory, not man." Brethren and sisters, this is God's work. When you and I come to the place that we feel that we're the ones that are doing it, we're not going to succeed as God wants us to succeed. We must give God the glory. And as the 106th Psalm, verse 2 says, "Who can ever list the glorious miracles of God? Who can ever praise Him half enough?" Isn't that a beautiful thought? A challenge. That's a ASI text. Who can ever list the glorious miracles of God? Who can ever praise Him half enough? I think of another group that needed $234,000. Now that's a lot of money. They wanted to establish an institution, but they didn't have anything to get started, but they had an opportunity to purchase a closed prep school. Very beautiful campus. I've been on it a number of times. They had five large buildings and a 32-room mansion. So they needed some money, and they sent out their letters. As a result, they got one very large donation. And it came in this miraculous way. A man out in the Midwest, a farmer, received one of those letters, and he said now to himself, I want to be sure that this thing is of the Lord. I don't want to give a large amount of money if it's just going to be frittered away. But if this thing is really of the Lord, I want to support it. And so, you know, he prayed that if he contact, when he would phone Wildwood down in Georgia, the home of Elder Frazee, that if Elder Frazee answered the phone, then he would know that it was of the Lord. If somebody else answered the phone, then he would know that it was not of the Lord and he wasn't going to be as generous as he was planning on being. Well, he placed the call, and the phone rang and rang and rang and rang, and he hung on and he rang and rang. Finally, a voice answered on the other end of the line. It was Elder Frazee. He had just come in from a long trip. And when he drove up there in front of the house, he heard the phone ringing. He hurried in as fast as he could and answered. And there on the other end of the line was the man who later gave over $100,000 to this particular program. And I say tonight that this was a miracle. And we can say tonight that the Mountain Missionary Training School there in Harrisville, New Hampshire. We can say with the psalmist, or with Job, stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. And brethren and sisters, I could go on and on tonight almost ad infinitum. I could tell you about a $12,000 mortgage payment that was paid off in a very miraculous way. And Elder Standish, who is here tonight, could give you the details. It was my privilege to conduct a week of prayer at his institution there at Weimar some years ago, and I was thrilled at what I saw. Those young people knew why they were at that institution. And when I talked with them and prayed with them in their rooms, in their dormitory rooms, it was always that there was a special dimension that they wanted to get at that particular institution. But their board found themselves on one occasion owing a $12,000 mortgage that was going to be due in 24 hours. Well, their board got down on their knees and they didn't ask the Lord to send the money, the $12,000, but they thanked him for sending it. And after the board meeting was over, one of the leaders had seven of the brethren together there as they talked over the situation. They were going to be separated in different parts of a nearby city during the course of the day. And then they were going to come back together at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and see what the Lord had done for them. There was no appeal for money. They just asked the Lord to do what needed to be done. And you know, my friends, when they came back together that afternoon at 3 o'clock, there were five checks there. Five checks. And the ones that had given the checks had no contact with one another during the course of the day. And do you know how much those five checks totaled? $12,000. Well, now, brethren and sisters, I say that when these things happen, it's the Lord behind these things that work the miracles. As the psalmist says there in the 105th Psalm, the second verse, sing his praises and tell everyone about his miracles. Brethren and sisters, after all, that's what it's all about in the ASI. It's to tell everyone about his miracles. His miracles of grace that we heard sung about here so beautifully tonight. And the more mundane miracles that he works for us day by day in our work. If it's a broken freezer has broken down just before the fruit and vegetable canning season comes and you're told that you need $1,000 in order to repair it and you don't have any money, what do you do? Well, in this particular situation, they got down and prayed. And when the brother was telling me this experience, I said, did the Lord give it to you the next day? No, he said he didn't give it to us the next day. But when the corn was ready, here came a check for $1,100. The Lord added a little bucksheesh, as we say over in India, to the $1,000, and they were able to take care of the repair of their freezer. Stop and consider this and the other miracles of God at Stone Cave. Or as the 92nd Psalm, the 5th verse says, O Lord, what miracles you do. And the 77th Psalm in the 14th verse says, You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. I'm glad that you and I don't work alone, aren't you? When we face the challenges, when we face the difficulties, when we face the problems, we do not face them alone. But our God is there. He is a God of miracles and wonders, the psalmist says, and He still demonstrates His awesome power. Well, I could go on tonight almost ad infinitum. I was going to tell you about a cement block manufacturing owner. I wanted to tell you about a couple of avowed atheists and about a carpenter who was impressed with a self-supporting Sabbath school teacher on one occasion and a lot of other things, but I see my time has slipped away and I do not want to fail to cover some of the other items that I want to bring to you this evening. Brethren and sisters, this is the kind of a program that you and I are in here in the Columbia Union. A God bless program, a heaven help program, a dynamic movement helping boys and girls, young men and young women to be trained for service and to help finish the work of God and hasten the coming of Jesus. That's why we're here tonight. The psalmist says, Hallelujah! I want to express publicly before His people my heartfelt thanks to God for His mighty miracles. Psalm, the 111th Psalm, the first verse. Notice there, the psalmist, in seeing the great things that God had done, was so moved that he shouted, Hallelujah! You know, I received a letter from Elder Livesay, Brother Arnold's predecessor in the General Conference. And in this letter, he was reciting some of the wonderful things that God was doing in the ASI. And then he made a very interesting statement. He said, Elder Pearson, if I wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, I'd shout hallelujah. Well, bless your heart. If there's anybody that ought to be able to shout hallelujah, it's Seventh-day Adventist. Sometimes we are so stolid and so quiet that the preachers may go to sleep sometimes. But I'm glad here that we can shout amen and hallelujah on occasions. And I wrote back to Brother Livesay and I told him, when I read your letter, I shouted hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because I am a Seventh-day Adventist. And I think a Seventh-day Adventist ought to be able to praise the Lord, shouldn't he? And shout hallelujah. We should be filled with praise for God's goodness and miracles that are happening every day throughout the world in our ASI program. And so the psalmist again in the 78th Psalm, the 7th verse, reminds us we are never to forget His glorious miracle. I haven't told you these stories tonight to entertain you. I've told them to you to increase your faith and confidence in the Lord that you serve, to help you feel that indeed this is God's program, and that if we're going to succeed, it's going to be because God performs the miracles for us. He tests us and tries us and then blesses us. But now I want to talk to you in the closing minutes of my little presentation this evening about the greatest miracle of all. You know, I noticed here and was very impressed, Brother Mayor, with the back page of your program, you were talking about the benefits of ASI membership. You mentioned here that each convention should help you to grow spiritually and inspire you to find the real joy in Christian living. Brethren and sisters, this is the part of our little message tonight that I'm the most concerned about and the most interested in. And that's this other miracle that must come to us. We're not in the ASI program merely to raise money or to erect buildings or to establish institutions or to train young people or to socialize at our annual meetings, not even just to participate in general with those exercises known as the finishing of the work. All of these things are good, and I want to commend you tonight for everything that you've done in this area. They're all important. They play an important role in the development of our work. But there's another miracle that must happen every day to every single one of us. And this isn't a miracle that happens on the Columbia Union College campus or on the Wildwood campus or the Little Creek campus or the Madison campus or any other campus. It's a miracle that must happen in the heart and life of Robert Pearson and of each one of us that is here this evening. If we're going to be effective workers for God in this great work to which He's called us, this miracle must happen to us every single day. I read it from God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It's this new birth experience, becoming a new creation or a new creature in Christ Jesus. As we read in Acts of the Apostles, page 476, regarding Paul's experience, it says that through the power of Christ, men and women have broken the chains of sinful habit. I suppose that if all of us were honest tonight, we would have to confess that there were things in our hearts and lives that needed to be changed. Some habits that needed to be broken. Self needs to be renounced, it says. The profane have become reverent, the drunken sober, the profligate pure. Souls that have borne the likeness of Satan have become transformed into the image of God. This change is in itself, listen, the miracle of miracles. This transformation, this change that must come about in each of our experience, and something that doesn't happen just once in a lifetime, brethren. This once in grace, always in grace, is not from God's Word. It's an experience that must come to us every day. Starting out on the day, down on our knees, asking the Lord for guidance and help, and then being able to get up and go from the place of prayer filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to share our faith, to do our work, whatever we're doing, whether we're ministers or literature workers, or whether we're operating nursing homes, or whether we're doctors or other professional individuals, our challenge tonight is to do God's work in God's way. And the only way that we can do it is when the Lord is the one that's in our hearts, and each day we are experiencing that new birth experience. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The thing that I pray tonight is that the ASI members who are seeking to reveal Christ through his daily business or profession must have that experience this miracle experience, if you're going to experience other miracles in your life. It must be first that you and I are in a right relationship to our Heavenly Father, and that we know that experience day by day, that he's going to be able to enable us to perform miracles. As ASI members seeking to reveal Christ, the Apostle Paul knew this daily experience when he summed it all up in three words. What are those three words? I die daily. I die daily. And you know, beloved, after all, this ought to be the motto of every Seventh-day Adventist. I die daily. The things of the world have, if they do have an appeal, they don't have an appeal that can draw me away from my Savior, because Christ in my heart is going to enable me to live victoriously day by day. I hear strange things in the Adventist church on occasions today. I hear that we can't keep the commandments. Well, brethren and sisters, I've been preaching this message for well over 50 years on every continent of earth. And I've held evangelistic efforts on most of those continents too. And And I've been preaching for 50 years what I know to be this message, and that is not only we can keep the commandments, but we must keep the commandments if we're going to get into the kingdom. We're not going to do it alone, brethren and sisters. Let us make that abundantly clear. It's going to be through the grace and the strength and the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul exalted, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, brethren and sisters, I die daily. And that experience comes day by day of overcoming sin in our lives. Paul knew what this experience was because he had been through the conversion experience on the Damascus Road. And he fought through his lifetime the old unregenerate nature that was struggling for recognition. He knew that it had to be constantly repressed. He knew well that the life of the Christian must be one of self-denial at every step of the road. But I am glad this evening that that miracle of miracles, the transformation of our hearts and lives initially and then a continued experience throughout our lives, that the Lord can accomplish through us that which He desires. The Lord's messenger speaks many times of this miracle that must happen every day. You need a fresh conversion every day. Die daily to self. If we die daily to the world and to sin, our new birth experience there is a daily renewal of our experience with Jesus. And how does this take place? I like Colossians, the second chapter, the sixth verse. I don't usually use a large number of paraphrases, and I'm sure that some of my brethren here tonight may not agree with me. But I find in some of these paraphrases some beautiful devotional thoughts. You can't trust them for doctrine. But just as you would read some good devotional reading that inspires you and helps you, you can use this. And if you want to read something beautiful, you go home and get your Living Bible out and read the second chapter of Colossians. It's beautiful. These words, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. And we all have our problems, don't we? We have our tests, our trials, our challenges every day. And He says that just as you trusted Christ to save you, when first you gave your heart and life to Him, you surrendered everything that you had to Him, when you found forgiveness and cleansing, and you trusted the Lord for all that He had done for you in the past. Here it says that just as we trusted Christ to save us, we trust Him too for each day's problems, putting ourselves in His hands day by day. We acknowledge our sin-prone nature. We cast ourselves fully upon the resources of the Savior every day. We trust Him as we did in that initial conversion experience, and we die daily. And then it goes on in that beautiful second chapter of Colossians. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots go down into Him and draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He hath done. Isn't that beautiful? That's the experience that the Lord wants us to have. These miracles that happen every day. Not alone in the self-supporting institutions, but in your heart and in mine. Tonight as I close, I want to laud and applaud all of the deeds of love, all of the funds that have been given by unselfish hearts, all the good things that characterize the work of the ASI, all the miracles that have been happening every day. I say, praise the Lord, keep up the good work. But my real heart appeal to you tonight in this keynote address as we commence our convention is for the miracle of divine regeneration that must take place within the heart of every born-again ASI member. This is my burden. There's nothing that has rested more heavily upon this heart of mine for the last 20 years than to see God's people getting ready for the coming of Jesus. And I believe that ASI can play a very real part in accomplishing that goal. I believe, Brother Arnold, that the Lord has a very real role for the ASI to play in this particular work. I believe in it. My heart appeal, then, is for this miracle to take place in each of our lives. And the kernel of my keynote message tonight is that people will see and understand our relationship to the Lord Jesus because they've known us. You know, when I travel on the plane or have through the years, very frequently as soon as people discovered that I was a Seventh-day Adventist minister, they would say, oh yes, you're those people that have the wonderful schools and hospitals. And they're impressed with those things. And brethren and sisters, I believe in our medical and educational brethren and the work that they're doing. They face some of the greatest problems of any people in this denomination. We need to pray for them. But brethren and sisters, wouldn't it be wonderful if when we meet people who are not of our faith and they discover that we're Seventh-day Adventists, instead of referring to our hospitals and our schools, they would say, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. You're those people that are so much like Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about tonight, brethren and sisters? Isn't that the miracle that we want in our experience? I pray that somehow during the time that we're here together, that we may catch a new glimpse of God's desire, God's program for us. That as we stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God, that text that I read in the beginning, that something will happen at this convention that will go like the ripples of the sea throughout the length and breadth of the Columbia Union. You know, one of these days, the Lord's going to cut His word short in righteousness. A real revival and reformation is coming to God's people. Why shouldn't it begin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Why shouldn't it be among God's leaders here during the time that we're here together? May God bless us, brethren and sisters, that in our socializing, we will also find that spiritual experience will send us to our knees, and that many times we'll find ourselves praying together as well as talking together. May God bless you. And thank you for letting me share the blessings of this convention with you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.